This is a CNA podcast.
Hi, Steve here. Just to update you that since the pod was recorded, two more people have died from their injuries suffered during the tragedy. That brings the total now to 135.
Football, the beautiful game, the global game. If you've been in a packed stadium with fans at full voice, you know it can be an electrifying and exhilarating experience. Swept up in passion and emotion, fans will play their part in driving their team to victory through songs and chants. But this, what you can hear, is not that. This is different. Can you tell? They're in pain. They're holding a vigil for their fallen comrades, following one of the worst stadium stampedes the world has ever seen.
This is a dark day for football and a tragedy beyond comprehension.
Somber words spoken by the head of FIFA, Gianni Infantino, as he reacts to news of a football match that ended in chaos, confusion, and the loss of 133 lives, including more than 40 minors, with some as young as three. I'm Steve Lai, and you're listening to CNA Correspondent.
The football world is in a state of shock following the tragic incidents that have taken place in Indonesia at the end of the match between Arema FC and Persebaya Surabaya.
The trouble started when fans of Arema FC ran onto the pitch after the final whistle. They were unhappy their side lost 3-2 on home soil to rivals Persebaya Surabaya. In an effort to control the crowd and clear the field, police in riot gear confronted the fans and fired tear gas. This sparked panic and a stampede as fans rushed for the exits. To tell you more about what happened that fateful day and what action has been taken since, I'm joined by Rizky Siriga, we call her Kiki, our digital journalist in Indonesia who covered the story. Kiki, thanks for speaking to us. Talk us through some of the details of what happened that led to such a huge loss of life.
Well, on that tragic night, Saturday, the 1st of October, Arema FC from Malang played against Persebaya Surabaya at their home ground, home soil, the Stadium Kanjuruhan in Malang. Now, these two clubs, they've been big rivals for many years, and they've made a pact many years ago that should Persebaya Surabaya play in Malang, their fans won't attend the match, and vice versa, to ensure that the match would run smoothly and peacefully. But Arema FC lost against their big rival, and it was their first loss in more than 20 years, Steve. So you could imagine people were devastated, they were unhappy, and somehow people just stormed onto the pitch, and like you said, the police tried to do everything to disperse the crowd. They did not manage to do so, and they fired tear gas. This tear gas triggered panic among the crowds. The police also fired tear gas to the tribune where people were still sitting. And so people tried to escape, and they went to the nearest exit doors. But unfortunately, many of the doors were closed. This led to a stampede, and now 133 people died.
It is a truly tragic incident that's happened. Just to clear up something, you're saying that fans from the rival team were not present?
They were not present.
So it was just all Arema fans?
Yes,
yeah. Now, football in Indonesia is incredibly popular and quite a family affair. There were families and very young children there as well. But this isn't the first football-related accident in Indonesia, is it?
Unfortunately not, no. Football-related incidents in Indonesia are unfortunately quite common, Steve. Just a few months ago in June, actually, I wrote about an incident in Bandung when the football club of Bandung played against Persebaya Surabaya and two people died during that incident. An analyst told me that if authorities did not change things, that would not be the last tragedy, and they were right because we saw that tragedy on the 1st of October.
You were mobilized quite quickly after the event happened. Tell us more about what Arema FC means to the Malang's people and what you felt when you were there. Was it difficult to speak to those fans that were in shock and grieving? And I would imagine in some cases, distraught and even angry over what happened.
Most of the football-related incidents in the past usually involved matches when four big football clubs were playing. So that would be the club of Jakarta, of Bandung, that's the capital of West Java province, Malang, and also Persebaya Surabaya. So those are the four big rivals. But to the people of Malang, Arema FC is their identity. It's very different compared to, say, the football club of Jakarta. I'm based in Jakarta, and if I go out of town and I tell people I'm from Jakarta, nobody will ever mention the football club of Jakarta. They will associate me with other stuff, like, oh, you're from the capital, or Pak Jokowi, all those kind of stuff. But if people say I'm from Malang, you would automatically think, ah, Arema, so you must be an Arema fan. So the club and football mean a lot to the people of Malang. I was mobilized, like you said, to Malang. And before I arrived in Malang, I was actually quite shocked to know that a lot of families attended the football match. I thought, why would people even bring their children to a football match when you know that it could turn violent, right? But when I started talking to people, I discovered that they felt they were playing. So it was just natural for them to be there. And knowing that the fans of Persebaya wouldn't attend the match, they thought it was safe. Obviously, it was not.
Yeah, that's the tragedy. You would think that if there were rival fans, then that would add to the tension and to the friction. But when it's just your own fans in the stadium, you would quite naturally think that it would be safer to bring your family. Now, tell us a bit about sort of how you went about sort of collecting stories and finding out about the details of what happened down in the ground with the fans that you spoke to.
There were two dominant emotions I could feel when I was in Malang. The first one was sadness. And the second one was anger. People were extremely angry, Steve. And because they were angry, they were willing to talk. They wanted people to hear their voice. They felt there was injustice. I spoke to a man who attended the match with 8 members of his family. And in their group, there were 3 young children. He kept telling me, we didn't do anything wrong. We were just sitting there at the tribune. And somehow the police fired tear gas to us and we panicked. They felt they didn't do anything wrong. They want justice. Wherever I was in Malang, I could see banners, Steve, with the words in Indonesian, Usut Tuntas, which means investigate thoroughly. So people want justice. There were also a lot of banners in Malang condemning the police. People are very angry at the police. And the police are now under scrutiny.
Yeah, they are. And I understand one of the contributing factors as well was that the stadium was actually over capacity in that there were more tickets sold than there were actually seats in the stadium.
Well, the organizers said because of the layout of that stadium, where it doesn't have a particular seating for every single person, like there they have bench and they actually have a standing tribune, they couldn't really tell how many people would fit that stadium. That was their defense. Having said that, like I said, a few months ago, there was another football incident here, and I spoke to analysts. Back then, there was also overcapacity, and so I asked the analyst, why does this keep happening? We've seen this problem over and over again. And the answer was very simple. It's basically greed. People are very profit-oriented. And also because there is no clear ticketing system, it seems. During matches, football matches here in Indonesia, you would see a lot of counterfeit tickets, according to analysts.
And why did the police come out so strongly in reaction to the pitch invasion? I mean, with no other fans there, there was no concern about a clash with other fans breaking out. From some of the footage I've seen, they were in full riot gear and in some cases were hitting fans.
Well, they said that they thought the people were too violent and they couldn't control the situation. And the only way out was to fire the tear gas. They also said that based on previous experiences, matches in Indonesia tend to end in chaos, and they were trying to prevent that. Obviously, they did not succeed. So they need to do a lot of explaining now.
Yeah, that's right, Kiki. We'll get into that in the second half of the pod. Now, this stampede is one of the worst stadium disasters ever. For reference, you might remember the Hillsborough Stadium disaster in the UK in 1989, when 97 Liverpool fans died in a crush while attending the club's FA Cup semi-final against Nottingham Forest. It took nearly 3 decades for charges to be brought. When we come back, you'll hear what Indonesian President Joko Widodo is doing to hold those responsible to account and make sure it doesn't happen again.
Hi, I'm Adrian Tan.
And I'm Crispina Robert.
We are the host of a new podcast called Work It.
We're here to get into the essential things that no one tells you about working and company culture, from office politics to dealing with burnout.
If you've ever wanted to eavesdrop on an interesting conversation by the water cooler,
this podcast is for you.
Look out for our episodes wherever you get your podcast.
Why was an independent fact-finding team formed? Because we want to investigate thoroughly. Nothing is covered up. Those who are wrong will be given sanctions. If they are convicted, they will also be punished.
That was Indonesia's President Joko Widodo speaking about his government's efforts to get to the bottom of why 133 lives were lost and to hold accountable anyone found of wrongdoing. You're back with me, Steve Lai, and Kiki Siregar, our digital journalist in Indonesia. Kiki, what has happened since this tragedy on the 1st of October? What has President Jokowi done?
President Jokowi has ordered the formation of a fact-finding independent investigation team led by the senior minister for security, Mahfud MD. And he also went to Malang. President Jokowi went to Malang to see the victims who were still hospitalized. He went to see the stadium. He spoke to us reporters and said that based on his observation, the locked doors were probably the cause of the stampede, he said. Also the steep steps of the stadium. And he ordered a total audit of stadiums in Indonesia. Well, just a few days ago, President Jokowi also met with Gianni Infantino, the president of FIFA here in Jakarta. FIFA said that they would help Indonesia to reform Indonesia's football industry, the football clubs included. And the stadium Kanjuruhan in Malang would be demolished and rebuilt according to FIFA's regulations.
The players and spectators must be guaranteed for their safety and security. We have agreed to reevaluate if stadiums are fit for use and to use technology to help others mitigate any potential threats to spectators and players.
Indonesia's President Joko Widodo there reiterating the actions to be taken going forward. Kiki, an investigation, as you mentioned, has been launched into the actions by police and football authorities. What do we know so far and what actions have been taken?
The police have named 6 people as suspects. 3 of them are actually from the police. The independent fact-finding team has announced their conclusion a few days ago. They said that the Indonesian Football Association did not debrief authorities on the ground about their regulations and also FIFA's regulations. And because of that, police who were on duty on that night did not know that tear gas was not supposed to be used. The fact-finding team also said excessive use of tear gas was the main contributing factor that led to the deaths of more than 130 people. It also said that the supporters were not well briefed. They did not know what they could do and not do and what was allowed and not allowed. And they actually recommended for the Indonesian Football Association to reform itself and for the officials to resign.
Now, this is going to have far-reaching impact across the football community in Indonesia.
Yes.
I know there's an incredibly strong and passionate football culture in Indonesia. How has the community as a whole sort of responded to this?
What hit me hard when I was in Malang, Steve, was I realized that many of the spectators, of the fans who attended the match, they were not people of privilege. Like the people I interviewed, they lived in villages. I spoke to a man who lived in a very small alley and he attended the match with his extended family. So I imagined the fact that they were willing to spend so much money to buy tickets, that means they must have loved the game and the club so, so much, right? And it was just so sad that they spent money just to have a good time, something memorable, but it ended in tragedy. So everybody hopes the Kanjuruhan, the Malang tragedy would be the last one in Indonesia. For now, a lot of people are saying they would still watch football, but at home. I spoke to a lot of people in Malang who said they're not going to step their foot on a stadium again, ever again. They're traumatized. It seems for now the best way to enjoy the game is indeed by staying at home.
Well, that is quite an impact that it's had because we do know that, you know, Indonesian football fans absolutely love their football.
Yes, exactly, Steve.
Kiki, one last question for you. What's your biggest takeaway or what have you learned most about what you've seen covering this story, you know, from how it broke to what has happened to the point where the FIFA president has been in Jakarta speaking to the president, talking about reforming all of Indonesian football?
I think the biggest takeaway is that for many years, this has been a problem in Indonesia, but nobody cared to do something about it. And now that the spotlight is on Indonesia, all eyes are here on Indonesia and what Indonesia will be doing moving forward, we do hope that the authorities will finally act and reform things because that's the only way to solve this problem, Steve. Every analyst I've interviewed over the past few years, every time I covered a football-related incident, have been telling me these are the root causes, these are the root problems, and they're always the same. But it just seems that people who are in power do not care that much to actually solve the problem. And so hopefully that will end now, and they will actually finally do something about this.
Thank you, Kiki. We'll leave it there. But where can listeners find you and keep up with your good work?
I'm on Twitter. It's at Kiki Seregar CNA.
Listening to Kiki's accounts of what happened at the Kanjuruhan Stadium in Malang, it's clear that how fans are treated, how stadiums are operated, and how authorities control crowds must change for the better. It's heartening to hear that on that front, President Widodo is taking action. You heard me start this episode by calling football the beautiful game and the global game. That is unlikely to change. But if Indonesia wants to be a part of it, lessons must be learned and action must be taken so that the same mistakes aren't repeated. When fans sing their anthems and raise their voices in support of their team, they should be doing it to roar their team to victory and not to mourn lives lost. The TV version, CNA Correspondent, airs on CNA every Wednesday at 9:30 p.m. You can also catch up with it whenever you like on cna.asia. Do like and subscribe to this podcast version wherever you listen so you can catch the next one. Thank you for listening. Our podcast team is made up of Jacqueline Chun, Daniel Lee, Crispina Robert, Clara Ong, and me, Steve Lai.